Thank you for listening to this DuPont Media production, available on all major podcast platforms. This is Rod Peterson on demand.
Hey, podcast listeners, this is Rod Peterson. Be sure to join Dupes and me in Houston, Texas, this December from the 5th to the 10th. I guarantee you we'll be checking in on the Texans and the Broncos on NFL Sunday, plus two live shows with all our football buddies, including George Cortez and Don Narcisse. If you've always wanted to see a college football game and it's on your bucket list, why not join us in Houston for a college football playoff game? We're waiting on the Houston Rockets NBA schedule, but if they're home, one of the hottest teams in the NBA will be part of the trip. Check us out now at rodpeterson.com/trip, and thanks to Uniglobe for putting it on.
Sports Talk on Demand. Head to rodpeterson.com to access all of the content you may have missed or want to hear again. Now, back to the studio with Rod.
All right, welcome back on a Tuesday, everybody. Tuesday morning sports update. Veteran righty Andrew Cashner is expected to make his Red Sox debut tonight as the Blue Jays against the Blue Jays after being acquired in a trade with Baltimore 3 days ago. Cashner was 9-3 in 17 starts for the team with the worst record in the majors. Toronto dropped the opener last night 10-8. Speaking of the Red Sox, the Regina Red Sox home tonight 7:05 at Curry Field. Rangers righty Lance Lynn will go for his major league leading 13th win tonight when Texas hosts the Arizona Diamondbacks in an interleague matchup. Lynn was 12-4 entering the All-Star break and has won five straight. Mike Trout hopes to return to the lineup when the Angels host AL West leading Houston in the second game of their series. Trout left Sunday's win over Seattle early due to right calf tightness, though the injury didn't look serious. Speaking of Houston, three more people signed up for the Rod Peterson Show inaugural trip to Houston, December 5th to the 10th. I got their names in my phone. I got to send out personal thank yous to them. So that's exciting.
Yeah, hurry up. Get in.
Oh, yeah, you have until today. Today to book your spot on our trip to Houston, and the hotel in Houston's going to upgrade you from a twin beds to a king.
Well, a suite. Whatever your room is going to be, I think.
So you're on this.
Got to get up the upgrade, the room upgrade to the suite.
So book today, and you'll be upgraded by the hotel in downtown Houston, where we're going December 5th to the 10th with Uniglobe Travel.
RodPeterson.com/trip.
And there's another Canadian earning a shot at the NBA. The Miami Heat signed forward Kyle Alexander. The 6'11" big man from Milton, Ontario, played in 8 summer league games with the Heat. Speaking of 6'11". How about that guy with the Saskatchewan Rattlers that's 6'10" that we were watching the other night? Marshall, you got to get up to a pro basketball game.
I would enjoy that.
So much fun.
Got my shirt on today. I told you I would wear the Rattlers shirt.
Repping the Rattlers.
You know what? And actually, I've got some stuff in the bag, the souvenirs that we got back from
the Rattlers?
From the Rattlers. I'll get them in the next commercial break.
We're loving the Rattlers, and from what they tell us, the feeling's mutual. And they are home this Thursday night for their next home game. I wish I could make the game, but I cannot. Family commitment. Capital Auto Mall poll. Capital Auto Mall Universal Collision Center poll. Do you like Thursday night games in the CFL? Who do you think is winning, Marsh?
Oh, no question. Thursday night games, thumbs up.
Yeah, 67% say yes.
Oh, a lot closer
on our Twitter poll. Not to me, to me. Not close at all. And on our website, rodpeterson.com, the poll's up there too. 79.2% say yes, they like Thursday night games. So if you're the CFL, I assume you're staying with us. You're not moving away from it,
no.
I would hope. Well, and actually now's a good time as we await G. Roy Simon. I believe he's joining us at 11 Mountain to talk about that game on Thursday night, Marshall. If you love the games, you probably watched it. 33-6, the Eskimos just embarrassed the BC Lions.
Yeah.
That's the tough part.
I'd love to hear G. Roy's thoughts on this, but you know, my short answer to the question is Edmonton's looking way better than I thought they would, and BC's looking a lot weaker than I thought they would. And how do you protect Mike Riley? Because if you got 12, I think they have 12 sacks in the two games that they played head-to-head against Edmonton, and that doesn't count probably about 5 or 6 that were called back because of penalties. So they're just eating Mike Riley for dinner. That defensive line.
Yeah, it's not a good situation. Comes back to Marcel Desjardins in Ottawa, and I know they're going through some struggles right now too, so maybe it's not proving that that's the way to go too, but when he talked to us on the program early on in the season and John Lynch was ripping him up and down to his face about why don't you keep the stars, Greg Ellingson and, you know, Will Powell and Trevor Harris, and the list goes on. There was five, you know, big stars that they let go, and he said, our model is not to pay the big guys the big money and then not have depth down the lineup. Our model is to make sure that we've got a good football team top to bottom. We want to pay people what they deserve, and that's true. But we want to make sure we don't sacrifice other areas. And clearly, the offensive line in BC is a bit of a question mark right now.
Somebody wrote in earlier last hour on the Facebook feed saying that Jonathan Jennings is taking first team reps for the Red Blacks at their practice this week. They are going into Winnipeg. They're coming down to Winnipeg. They're bringing the smoke to Winnipeg, the Red Blacks. And it looks, Marshall, like a quarterback change potentially for the Red Blacks. By the way, Craig from Indian Head writes in, Prairie Mobile text line at 840-8777. Says, love the show, guys. Keep it up. It has become my morning go-to broadcast at work. I particularly enjoy the chats with former riders. That again from Craig in Indian Head. So, thank you, Craig, for tuning us in, making us part of your morning. And you're going to enjoy this chat with G. Roy Simon coming up. Craig telling me that he is just getting booted up and ready to join us from Vancouver. Regarding the poll, do you like Thursday night games? Phil has been writing all show long and says, I'd rather see Sunday games. No, Phil, no. It's to avoid the National Football League. That message has been made abundantly clear. To the CFL, don't go head-to-head against the NFL. And yes, I know the NFL is not playing Sunday in the summer, but Marshall, why play in the Sunday at all year? If you're going to try and avoid Sunday in the fall, why would you play it at all?
I mean, you'd like to get your fans into a routine. And if the routine is Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Saturday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Saturday, get into that routine, because you don't want to be playing, as you've already said, on Sundays. Because people that think church, Sundays are for church, not in the United States, Sundays are for the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
And the NFL is king, and there's no way you're going to beat the king in terms of ratings. So why try it? I mean, I know that they'll do it for playoffs and things like that, because that just takes the game, the meaning of each game, to another level. But, you know, who wants to watch sort of a meaningless CFL game on a Sunday when you've got, you know, 5, 6, 7, 8 different options in the NFL? And at least 3 or 4 of those games are going to be, you know, head-to-head matchups between undefeated teams and things like that. So I'd rather see Thursday night games for ratings, and I'd rather avoid playing against the NFL.
Could not agree more. The CFL is doing a lot of things right, and that's one of them. They are listening, so you got to take your hat off to them. Yep. G. Roy Simon ready to go. We'll have him when we return. Clark's telling us to take a quick break. G. Roy Simon of the BC Lions after this. You're watching The Rod Peterson Show on Facebook Live. Listen live at rodpeterson.com, Apple Podcasts, and iHeartRadio.
Houston, we have a problem. Join Rod and the gang in Houston this December. Rod Peterson's VIP sports experience with Uniglobe Travel. Enjoy 5 nights in beautiful Houston, Texas with the Rod Peterson Show. See the Houston Texans and the Denver Broncos on NFL Sunday. Plus, the Houston Rockets and exciting NBA action and so much more. Visit rodpeterson.com for more information and to sign up now.
Employer pricing is back.
It is the best time to buy right now.
You pay what we pay.
It's like you work here, but you don't have to work here.
Check out this all-new 2019 GMC Sierra Double Cab. Its employee price is just $42,472 plus tax. That's only $138 per week. Plus, eligible Costco members receive preferred pricing on select vehicles and a $500 Costco cash card. Or take advantage of 0% financing up to 84 months.
You pay what we pay!
Bronco Plumbing and Heating has been servicing Regina and surrounding areas since 1978. At Bronco, we service all makes and models of furnaces, air conditioners, water heaters, and water softeners. Bronco also provides full sewer service, plumbing service, and duct cleaning. Call Bronco Plumbing and Heating today at 306-781-2090. Proud sponsor of The Rod Peterson Show.
If you're looking for radio that's got a great message, well, we've got it. LTD Radio plays the best of the 60s to the 90s, all with amazing stories about people right from your community. You can listen live right now at ltdradio.com, iTunes, Streama, and TuneIn. LTD Radio, music to build a better day.
Send us your opinions now. We won't victimize you unless you really deserve it. Now, back to your host, Rod Peterson.
All right, welcome back to the program, everybody, on a Tuesday morning, episode number 32, and we're emanating from the bunker here in a field north of Regina. Breaking news today in the Canadian Football League. The CFL released the following statement on the arbitrator's decision regarding Simone Lawrence. We are pleased that the arbitrator has decided to uphold the two-game suspension for Hamilton Ticat Simone Lawrence for his conduct during play number 4 of CFL game number 10 on June 13th. Dangerous and reckless play must be disciplined, not simply for the sake of punishment, but to deter such play in the future. So the arbitrator got him and the CFL's laying the boots to him after the fact. And he will miss the Ticats Week 8 game against the Saskatchewan Roughriders. And news out of Montreal, too. The Alouettes, bloodletting in their football operations department. Two of Cavis Reed's staff let go this morning in the wake of his salary cap circumvention scandal. So I'm hoping as we go to our next guest, G. Roy Simon, the news will be a little better. He joins us from, if I can get a look at him here, Surrey, BC, I assume in the Lions practice facility. Good morning, G. Roy. How are you, sir?
I'm good. How's it going?
It's going good, G. Roy. So much to talk to you about. Lions Riders here colliding in week 6, but we just got to go back a little bit. Your Lions 1-4. What's the temperature out there?
You know, it's obviously guys are, you know, we're kind of upset with our record right now, but at the same time, we still feel optimistic. We feel like we have a ton of good players. Guys just need to come together and play better. That's kind of the gist of it. You know, we feel we have the talent. We feel we have the right plan. And in a nutshell, guys need to, you know, players need to play and make plays.
Is that, I guess that's, you know, what's the message out there? Because, you know, we're watching the TSN broadcast Thursday. You're there. And everybody's pointing out the sacks, the 5 sacks by halftime and so forth. Is it just the offensive line, or are they getting too rough of a ride here right now from fans and the media?
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, there's a lot of factors that play into, you know, whether it's the offensive line, whether it's, you know, receivers not, you know, catching the ball. There's a number of different reasons why we're where we're at, but you know, that's where, you know, players need to step up and take hold of the team, because like I said, I think the coaches are doing a good job. I think you know, I just think the players need to play a little better. I mean, obviously it's not a, you know, whatever I say, it doesn't matter, but just looking at it from the outside, it just looks like the players need to make a few more plays, and you know, got to be a little more physical and play a little smarter.
G. Roy, Marshall Hamilton here. I'm just curious, you know, we're broadcasting out of Saskatchewan, where Daron Carter was a fixture here for a couple of seasons, controversial fixture. I'm wondering if you have an opportunity to talk to him one-on-one, and if you do, what's the messages you're trying to convey to him to be successful in this league?
Well, you know, I think Daron's been he can be a very good addition to this team. I think he needs to make more plays, but I speak to him. I say hi to him when I see him, but I don't talk to the players as much as I did in the past as far as what they need to do. I kind of leave that to the coaches. But you know, in the end, you know, he has superstar talent, and you know, he and everybody else can do a lot better job of using that talent and start making more plays.
Cody Fajardo, who you would know well, you guys had him out there the last couple of years, leads the Riders against your Lions here Saturday night at Mosaic Stadium. What are you seeing out of the Saskatchewan Roughriders, G. Roy, with him at the helm here the last few weeks?
You know, it you know, it looks like a bit of a tough game a few weeks ago. But you know, he's showing signs that he can be a very good quarterback in this league. You know, we saw all the same things when he was here. It's just a matter of, you know, he didn't have a great opportunity to show that. We know that he can make plays. We know that he can do a lot of things with athletically that can help your team. And you know, he's starting to show that there in Saskatchewan. But you know, in the end, if you get pressure on the quarterback, if you're in his face, you can hurt him a little bit. But you know, I think he has plenty of talent. And you know, we gotta get after him and you know, start making plays on both offense, defense, and special teams.
Week six is pretty early for two teams looking at must win games, wouldn't you say? That's what I think this is Saturday night.
Yeah, I mean, you know, when you're playing a divisional game and you know you haven't, you know, both teams are 1-3-1. You know, definitely we got to start winning some games. We don't want to fall too far behind. You know, you can get back into it, but you don't want to climb that mountain because it's a tough road to climb each and every week. It's basically every game seems like a playoff game, and then by the end of the season you're worn out. So you don't want to get into too many must win games. But at the same time, this is a divisional game. It's not really a two point game. It could be a 4 point game. So you know, we just got to come out and make some plays and find a way to win.
You of course do scouting for the BC Lions. NFL training camps are opening up here, depending on the team, about 10 days or so. Have you got your schedule mapped out? Or are you heading to some NFL camps, players finding players?
Yeah, I'll be heading out on the 27th. I get to go to a couple of new teams that I hadn't been to on the scouting circuit. I'm starting at Kansas City, and I hadn't been to Kansas City since they cut me in 2001, so I'm looking for getting out there. And then I'll be doing some of the AFC North, and then watch the Redskins and the Tennessee Titans. So I get to about 8 camps. So I'm looking forward to that. It's gonna be 3 weeks of being on the road, living out of suitcase. But I'm looking forward to, you know, finding the next great BC Lions and CFL players for the next, you know, for the next couple of years.
You know, we got a question here. It's from our producer, Clark. He says, what are G. Roy's thoughts on the quarterbacks finding quarterbacks topic we talked about the other day? The point being, you look at Calgary and what Nick Arbuckle's doing and what everybody's done in Calgary before him, Bo Levi, Flutie, Garcia, Dickinson, you name it. And I said, what's the common thread? Huff and Dave Dickinson. The quarterback appears to be able to find a quarterback. Are you more... Clark wants to know, comfortable finding wide receivers, all positions? Do you feel that it would take a quarterback to identify a great quarterback?
No, I think it comes down to just sitting and doing the research. You know, when you look for a quarterback, it's a little bit different than looking for other positions. A lot of other positions, you can see the talent, you can see the toughness, you can see some of the intangibles that you look for in certain players within the first 10, 15 minutes of watching them. But with quarterbacks, you basically have to watch, you know, 5, 6, 7 games, kind of see what makes them tick, see what kind of leader they are. And then you got to do a lot of background work. And then after you do all that and you bring them in, I think the one thing that Huff and Dave do, the same thing we did here in BC for a number of years with Wally, is, you know, when those guys are here, you got to give those guys reps. So you got to find reps, you know, throughout your practice, pre-practice and post-practice, and give them as many opportunities to see it and be in it, for them to develop. They're not going to be ready. You can see that Nick Arbuckle has gotten reps in practice. And he, you know, he's got, you know, he was here for mini camp, and, you know, unfortunately we didn't keep him, but, you know, he's a guy that, you know, it shows that he's, you know, he does his homework, he's gotten reps, and he's prepared himself, like he's going to be a starter, you know, even though he knew he wasn't going to play behind Bo. So it's just one of those things where, you know, you got to do extended research on these guys, and you got to understand that, what type of players they are, what type of leaders they are, and what, you know, how they learn and make them successful.
G.Y. Marshall here. I'm not interested in becoming a scout, so that's not the basis for my question. But for those of us that wonder what is the role of a scout, you've talked about research and you've talked about traveling to different sites, but you know, how much, you know, what do you mean by research? And you're going to obviously watch lots of players and watch lots of football, but do you have an opportunity to talk to some of the players, and do you have an opportunity to talk to some of the coaches about players that might not fit in their system but could fit in the CFL system?
Well, you know, the thing is, you know, as far as the research is concerned, you know, you basically, you know, you could just scour the country or whatever, wherever you're at, and kind of see who pops up. Then you go and you talk to the coaches, you talk to trainers, you talk to other players. For the most part, when I'm doing NFL and NCAA work, I don't talk to anybody as far as the players are concerned. I talk to coaches, I talk to GMs and player personnel guys, and they kind of give me a heads up on, all right, this guy's not going to make it, but this is what he is. Then, you know, you don't, you know, most people who are, you know, are pretty successful at this, you do your own research and you do your own due diligence on the player, just so you have a good understanding of what, you know, that player is. And, you know, when it comes to, especially like I said, when it comes to quarterbacks, you know, you want to see every throw. You want to see how they react when they miss a throw. You want to see how they react when they get sacked. What type of leadership? If you can find actual game footage of them, you know, you watch that as well, just to see, you know, like I said, how they react in certain situations, and you know that's not on a highlight tape or something like that. But for the most part, coaches and trainers and things like that, they'll give you the correct information on what type of person and player guys are, because you know their reputation's on the line and they want to be pretty, you know, they want to be honest and forthcoming with information.
G.Roy, last question. You've got a sports trip to Pittsburgh in September, NFL, college. What can you tell our viewers and listeners today about being a part of that?
Actually, that trip has been canceled.
Oh,
we are now going. It's going to be a better trip as opposed to going to Pittsburgh. We are now going to LA in December. It just gives people more time and you know, a better opportunity to, you know, to get, you know, football, basketball, as well as hockey. The date is going to be December 8th, and we're going to be going to LA, and you can travel to that trip. You know, from anywhere in the country, as opposed to just from Vancouver. The more details will be coming. So once we finalize everything, you know, we'll let you know. But you know, we had to cancel that September date just because it was a little too close and we couldn't promote it the right way. So December 8th in Los Angeles is going to be a lot better time, a lot better opportunity.
All right, send me the details, G.Roy. Love you, pal. Appreciate the time. We'll see you here on the weekend.
Thank you, man. We'll see you guys.
All right. G.Roy Simon joining us from the Lions practice facility out in Vancouver. And I'll say this, Marshall, very cool question on the scouting end of it. And I think most of our listeners would know, but some of the new listeners may not, and viewers, that my dad was a scout for 26 years in the NHL with Dallas and Minnesota, and then 10 years before that in the Dub. So I loved listening to his conversations, following him around, visiting with the GMs and the coaches, but specifically the players. I never wanted to be a scout for other reasons, but they're talking, Marshall, about, of course, you're scouting young hockey players versus what he's talking about, college football players, but do they have hair on their knuckles? How big's their dad? Have they finished their growth yet? Are they going to get bigger? How big are his siblings? Yep. And of course, if you really want to know what a player's like, ask the trainer. Yep. You can ask the broadcasters and the bus drivers and everything too. And a lot of times my dad would. But with a trainer, it's funny. They don't even need to say anything. Hey, what's Marshall like? You'll get a...
Yep. Just the look.
Right. Or a, what's Darren like?
Yep.
You know what? And that's it.
Yeah.
And a lot of times that's all that you need to know.
And what I think is also, maybe it's not obvious, but I know you know this, but when you talk to a trainer, you get a sort of an unshielded perspective, as opposed to, you know, if I'm going to be myself with anybody, it's not likely my head coach. It's more likely to be my trainer, because the head coach can fire me, the trainer can't. The head coach can cut me. The trainer can't. The trainer knows my injuries. He knows how much pain I'm playing through. The trainer knows what kind of character guy I am. Am I coming in for treatments? Am I doing all the things that he's asking me to do to be ready for the game? And really, the coach should know at least some of that, but the coach knows more. You know, is Marshall doing the X's at the right time and the O's at the right time? He's more focused on that. So trainers have some inside knowledge that the coaches don't have.
That's why I said I would go to them first,
yep.
And
yep.
then 2, 3, and 4.
It's yep. a little different, too, at the pro level because you have a more of an idea of the work the guys are putting in, the time, the injury history. You kind of think that they're done growing, all of those types of things. I always go back to, you know, what do you do when nobody's watching, right? Yep. You know, and the trainers are around when the coaches are gone. They're finishing up stuff. And you see who's lingering around, who's putting in the extra work. It's tougher at the Western and junior hockey level. I had a general manager tell me, you know, how do you judge kids? Well, we take the information we have and then we pray and hope. Yeah. We pray that they're going to grow and that they're going to develop the way we thought they were. And we hope the kid's going to put in work away from the rink. We can put them through the paces, but you have to pray that they're actually going to fill out and develop in the right way and that they're going to grow and that they're also, you hope that they're going to put in the work to become better.
One of my favorite all-time stories, and we will break here, but was in the era of the fax machine. My dad's was on the kitchen table at our house in Milestone, Saskatchewan. And he had wrote his scouting report on a player on the Moose Jaw Warriors. And I don't want to name who the player is, but Dad did all his extensive scouting and talked to everybody. And he writes in hand, teammates say he's an a-hole. Jams it in the fax machine, send to Dallas. Fax comes back. There's a lot of a-holes in the NHL. Can he play? Right? They didn't care. Yeah. Scouting talk we can talk about for a long time. We'll take a timeout, be back with more in a moment. It's a Tuesday morning. We're coming to you from the bunker. You're watching the Rod Peterson Show on Facebook Live and listen live. RodPeterson.com, Apple Podcasts, and iHeartRadio.
Universal Collision Center is Saskatchewan's premier auto body shop. Our extensive process ensures that every vehicle that comes through our state-of-the-art facilities is returned pre-accident condition and that every UCC customer experience is an easy one. We're certified to repair all makes, all models, and all luxury brands, and Universal Auto Spa offers full-service detailing packages to suit you and your vehicle. Plus, we're the official body shop of your Saskatchewan Rough Riders. Universal Collision Center, 3910 Rochdale Boulevard and 2355 First Avenue in Regina.
Building a deeper connection with our fans by putting them in the show. It's a new era of sports talk. The Rod Peterson Show airs from 10 to noon, Monday to Friday on Facebook Live. Join the conversation today and tune in. Online, on your phone, at home, at work, follow us on Instagram, Snapchat, and Twitter. And subscribe on YouTube for all the content you want to watch. Don't wait, do it right now.
Your economic security does not lie in your job. It lies in your power to produce, to think, to learn, to create, to adapt. That is true financial independence. It's not merely having wealth. It's having the power to produce wealth. We are your power to produce wealth. We are your freedom to make your dreams your reality. We are your shield against uncertainty. We are your family's protector when you no longer can be. We are your assurance that the light you see at the end of the tunnel isn't a train. We are comfort, clarity, and peace of mind. We are your financial guardian angel. We are 2020 Wealth Management. We are all these things and more. And we welcome you. Come see us and prosper.
If you've been using an inefficient heating system for indoor or outdoor use, you might be surprised by the quality and comfort that zone-controlled infrared heaters offer. Heating Green's energy-saving infrared heaters transfer sun-like warmth directly to people and objects without noise or maintenance. Increase your comfort and decrease cost, room by room. Our silent infrared heaters are perfect for indoor and outdoor spaces. For greater comfort using less energy, contact us at heatinggreen.com.
Nestled in the scenic Qu'Appelle Valley, just 20 minutes northwest of Regina, is one of the finest golf courses in all of Saskatchewan, the Deer Valley Golf Club. The clubhouse has a full-service restaurant, and customers can enjoy a casual dining experience with spectacular views of the golf course and valley.
A fully stocked golf shop staffed by PGA of Canada professionals is equipped to meet all of your golf apparel and equipment needs. Book your tee time, family event, or corporate tournament today at the Deer Valley Golf Club. Call 306-731-1445 or log on to deervalleygolf.ca.
You got something to say? You want to add to the show? What are you waiting for? Don't just sit there. Say something. Now, back to the studio with Rod.
The CFL's two-game suspension of Hamilton linebacker Simone Lawrence. The decision came down this morning, and it comes a week after Lawrence met with the arbitrator after appealing the ban the CFL levied against him last month. The league originally suspended Lawrence for two games after his hit on Zach Caleros in week one. Meanwhile, Hamilton receiver Brandon Banks, Montreal quarterback Vernon Adams Jr., and Winnipeg running back Andrew Harris are the CFL's top performers for week five. The Blue Jays and Boston Red Sox continue a four-game series tonight at Fenway. The Red Sox won last night's opener 10-8 behind a Michael Chavis grand slam. Winnipeg Jets have signed defenseman Nelson Noze to a one-year, two-way contract with an average annual value of $700,000. And the Carolina Hurricanes have re-signed defenseman Hayden Fleury. He's a Carlisle product, is he not? I'm pretty sure that he is. To a one-year contract worth $850,000. So kudos to the Hurricanes, and Hayden Fleury is a hell of a player. This is your Tuesday morning sports update. Janelle writing in, and we were talking to G. Roy Simon earlier. She says, my contractor is working on my house today in Lions gear, including his big Lions tattoo on his leg. And now I come here and see more orange. Good thing I love G. Roy. That from Janelle in Saskatoon.
Wanted to get a Nelson Noje, though, the Winnipeg defenseman that signed was a Saskatoon player. He's from Saskatoon.
Wow. So Saskatchewan hockey players filtering out all over the place.
A good kid, too.
As per usual. I should check in on the daily poll, too, by the way, for Capital Auto Mall, Universal Collision Center. Just give me a minute. The question came from our viewer, Don Mitchell in Ottawa, and that is, do you enjoy Thursday CFL games? And it's taking a minute to load here. Last I looked, 80%. Yes, here it is. 83% say, yes, they love Thursday games in the CFL. And just ahead of bringing on Carlo Koliakovo, former NHLer, now of TSN 1050 in Toronto. Marshall, that's the one thing. There's a lot of things the CFL is getting a lot of heck and heat for this summer. But Thursday night games, no Sunday games. The games are quicker. There wasn't one challenge the last Ryder home game here against Calgary. They're getting a lot of things right, too. Nobody wants to talk about that.
Well, this isn't exactly the question you asked me, but ask your viewers this question. How many games have we been talking about the referees?
Few.
Very few. I mean, you look back over the last few years, we've been talking about challenges. We've been talking about referees' calls. I mean, the only thing we talked about on today's show was somebody calling out the wrong number for a holding penalty. La-di-da. I mean, we're not talking about...
And not recently.
We're not talking much about mistakes made by referees. We're not talking about mistakes made by the in-booth officials that are looking at the replays. You know, so... You know, Randy Ambrosi, some things that you're doing, we're not necessarily agreeing with, but in terms of managing the on-field operation of the refereeing, well done.
Yeah, I'd love to be in those meetings with the schedulers. We talk about the Thursday games. You talk about not going up against them on Sundays. It's funny because analytics now and all the data can tell us so many different things. And when I think about it, and I think about social media and those things, there's probably data that says when these two teams play, it's better on Thursday night. But when these two teams play, it's probably better on Friday. And you know, you could bounce around games a lot. I remember as a kid, you start getting that expectation. Friday night football was always, you know, the thing you watched. And I think it was a doubleheader most nights on Friday nights. That was tradition. Are we moving away from that, the traditions? And is that the way the world's going, that it's better to move them around in different times? But that being said, the Thursday night thing is working for me.
I hope they stick with it. I do. Although a lot of people have been writing in this morning saying Melfort, Saskatoon, PA, Estevan, they don't like to drive on a Thursday. And I get that too.
Yeah, and if I could speak to the league on behalf of all those people that have made that comment, is Saskatchewan, more so than any other of the markets, will have people traveling longer distances to get to the game. So if you could avoid having the, you know, put Saskatchewan Rough Riders on a Thursday night away game, but try to avoid having them Thursday home games because it's hard for those people to get to those games.
Keep it in the bigger markets, Montreal, Toronto, Vancouver.
I guess. I mean, these poor marketers, it's not just CFL because we talked with Lee Genier, the Rattlers, the other day. What do people want? We put it on Thursday, and they complain that it's too far to drive, which is reasonable if you're driving.
They say I'd go Friday.
I'd go Friday. And then when we go to that pro basketball game in Saskatoon, and what's the team president saying? Well, it's a Friday in the summer. You know, it's we wish there were more people. And then you put it on a Saturday, and the lake people are like, but I'm not coming in from the lake.
You can't please all of the people all of the time.
You know, and then they want a winner. That's the other thing, right? If it's the game's crappy, and they're mad about that. It is hard. Here's one on the Facebook wall. Richard Cameron writes in. He says, listening from Iraq. My question would be, why?
Or how?
Yeah, how? What are you doing in Iraq?
No, but if you're a serviceman or woman in Iraq.
I'm just saying, he must not be on vacation.
And you miss home. This is an opportunity to connect with some Saskatchewan boys talking about Saskatchewan sports and the Saskatchewan
Roughriders. I'm saying, what are you doing in Iraq?
Well,
that's my question.
They may be serving our country, so if so, thank you.
Yes, absolutely. Truly a global program here. And where is Trent from Norway today? Is Norway still awake? It's evening over there, you know. From Dave Campbell on Twitter, the Eskimos color man. Eskimos announced Ricky Ray will be added to the Wall of Honor on September 20th at halftime of the Eskimos Ticats game. Will become the 31st member of the Eskimos Wall of Honor. That's one thing I love about baseball, how the guys got to choose a hat to go on their plaque in Cooperstown. If we did that in the CFL, what hat is Ricky Ray wearing? Argos or Eskimos? I was thinking about this the other day, by the way. He's won two Grey Cups in both cities.
I'm going to say Eskimos. I think so too. Where he established himself. That's where he became, you know, a legend, I guess, in the Canadian Football League. I'll say Edmonton.
Yeah, I'm going to say Edmonton as well. But knowing G-Roy, he'd probably, you know, have a hat on sideways with Argos on one side and Eskimos on the other. But I think it's Edmonton.
Ricky, sorry.
I think here's another factor. He didn't ask to leave Edmonton.
Right.
You know, he was shocked and disappointed with that trade. So I think that helps it go 51-49 in favor of Edmonton.
Just interjecting for a second, Richard Cameron informing us he is a member of Canada's Armed Forces. So thank you, Richard, for your service, and thanks for watching this morning from Iraq. Appreciate it.
I think just about the teams and their quarterbacks, and you look at Edmonton's and Ricky Ray is one of the best. He's one of the best in, I think, the history of the Argonauts, too, but I think of Doug Flutie first. I even think of Damon Allen, because that's kind of, I grew up with him, with the Argonauts leading them, too, and then maybe I think about Ricky Ray.
And there were some memorable guys like Joe Theismann back earlier in the years that won a Grey Cup and was a great player. So there's been a lot, you know, J.C. Watts, I think, who am I thinking of? Conridge Holloway is another guy, you know, so there's lots of players, but Ricky Ray, certainly a CFL Hall of Famer in my view, and four Grey Cup rings, 2-2, but I'd pick Edmonton.
Saw Damon saying on Twitter the other day, Twitter or Facebook, that how much he'd love to play in today's CFL. Can you imagine, Damon? When you got guys with 90% completion percentages like Nick Arbuckle, what Damon could do airing it out, they actually ran the ball in Damon's day, and he still has 90,000 yards career. Yeah. Imagine what he would have now. I think they're airing it out far more than they did in Damon's day. Now, it's not like he played in the Lancaster era either, but I think Damon, can you imagine watching him? And by the way, I think he probably could still play at 55. I don't know if you guys have read Don Hewitt's column. I'm loving it. His blog on the CTV Regina website. His latest this week was about parity in the CFL. And he says, if it's a hard salary cap in the CFL, which it clearly is.
Except in Montreal.
Kavis. He says it's inexcusable to have such lopsided games like we had in week 5. Edmonton wins in BC 33-6. Winnipeg smokes Toronto 48-21. He says the parity should be there because the salary cap is there. Furthermore, He says there's no excuse to be a crappy franchise in the salary cap era because everything's even, almost too much even. How do you feel about that? It's an interesting point. And by the way, Marshall, I didn't tell you yet. Don Hewitt's going to be on In the Huddle with us tonight so we can ask him ourselves.
Awesome.
But this is, it's everything's supposed to be even. Why is Montreal so crappy? Why are perennially, well, Toronto just won 2 years ago, so you can't say they're perennially bad. It's been back-to-back bad years. But, you know, you look at BC, it's all about how you spend your money.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't sound to me yet like they're regretting giving Mike Riley $725,000 a year.
Not publicly.
Yeah, not publicly, but I think if you're going to win in the CFL, you need a marquee quarterback. A couple of teams have identified that. And we're only five games into the BC Lions experiment, and nobody's writing them off. You just heard G-Roy. What did he say? The players need to play better. Which is true.
I agree to a certain degree with Don Hewitt's assessment that it should be closer if everybody's got the same salary dollars to spend. But good leaders, and I'm talking about owners and general managers and head coaches, et cetera, fill their team with, regardless what the salary is, fill their team with character people, fill their team with leaders. And the best teams in the league are the ones not that have the highest salary, because it's all the same. It's the people that have the best leaders and the best character players and role players that help gel the team into it. I mean, we were talking to Drager about the St. Louis Blues this year. Mm-hmm. Did they win because they had the highest salary? No. Did they win because they had the best players? No. They won because they had leaders and character players that found a way to gel together for a common goal, and they won that Stanley Cup. That they won their goal. So I think that's the reason why it's not as close as Don Hewitt's theory should suggest.
Yeah, and you know what? You've got the same number of guys in the field. You got the same number of guys in the sidelines, but it doesn't mean you're going to have the same game. I mean, you look at teams at any league, there's different styles. I want speed, you want size, you want power, you want, you know, this and that, and sometimes they just don't match up with what the other team has. And you know, you want to go high end on your quarterback and sacrifice somewhere else, great, you're going to be able to throw the ball well, but if you don't protect, okay, great. You know, another team who can run the ball well, your quarterback who throws it out and throws really well will never get the ball, so he never gets a chance to throw it. So yeah, it's about how you spend those dollars, and it's, you know, It's like choosing a character in a video game. You get to choose your attributes, right? And sometimes certain ones match up better.
But it's not a video game. That's the funny thing. In the discussions I've had with Jeremy O'Day before he was general manager, like for instance, when the Riders had to put Daron Carter a corner last year, and everybody's like, well, go find a corner. And Jeremy's like, this is not a video game. This is not fantasy football. It doesn't I get what you're saying, but players don't just fall off trees, right?
Let me use that same name to illustrate another point. Let's just hypothetically say that there's 10 quality receivers in the CFL that all make exactly the same number of dollars as Daron Carter. And without mentioning the other nine, who do you want? Do you want Daron or do you want one of those other nine? My answer is I want one of the other nine, because I'm going to want a leader. I'm going to want a character guy. I'm not going to want somebody that's going to be selfish and become a problem in the social media world, a problem in the locker room, you know, somebody that's going to get down if his quarterback doesn't throw him enough passes. I'll take one of the other nine.
But it comes back to, those attributes. So you bring out a guy who's a good leader and a good team guy, and he boosts everybody up by 5%. Or you take a guy who brings everybody down by 5%,
exactly.
But he catches more balls, right?
And is more talented.
And he's more talented. He's faster. He catches more passes, but he brings everybody down by a couple of percent. Are you willing to make that sacrifice? Some are, and some will have success.
My goal is to the manager's not to have one good player. My goal is to have one good team. And if that good player doesn't help me have a good team, then I don't want that player.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting, because if you recall, when the Riders cut Daron Carter last August, did they not go on a 7-game win streak after that? And there's no bigger Daron Carter fan than me, other than maybe his family. But I almost wonder if the BC Lions are starting to question that particular investment for the things that you don't see. You know, the reason that Daron gets cut everywhere that he goes, it's not because of talent.
I mean, obviously, we couldn't ask G-Roy Simon that question, because he's not going to give us his honest answer. He's going to give us the team's politically correct answer. But I think the BC Lions are that far away from being done with Daron Carter.
That's my point. How long did they wait? Mm-hmm. You know, and that's what makes this Saturday's game at Mosaic Stadium so scintillating and salacious.
And more than the game is, I think this is the series that decides who the crossover team is this year.
There's
two games here. If they split, then we're sort of back to where we are right now. But if one of those teams, whether it's BC or whether it's Saskatchewan, wins two of those games, I think that puts the death knell onto the other team.
It's a lot of pressure for July.
Yep. I'm just starting to feel it now.
It's the season series for those two teams. I mean, they've already lost. BC's already lost the season series against Edmonton. If Saskatchewan wins these two games, they've lost the season series against two Western opponents.
Wow. Tuesday. And it just hit me in that moment. I mean, I knew it was big, but now I feel how big it is.
Well, you understand enough that every game is big in the CFL. There's only 18 of them. But then it's exponentially more this week for all the reasons that Marshall said.
The back-to-back crossover bowl. That's what I'll call this.
Well, and the way the East is going and the way Montreal's coming off the mat. I don't expect Toronto's going to be this bad forever. There might not be that fourth playoff spot in the West that we've become used to.
I know Nashville wants to think that, but...
Marshall, you're hung up on Nashville. And I don't mean the city. Tell everybody that you're... You're gloating already. You don't have the money in your pocket yet, Marshall.
No, but that's... I want to poke the bear because it's fun. But Nashville and I have a bet. I said Hamilton's going to finish first in the East this year. And he's picked the other three teams to have some fun with me. And... Well, my team, not my team, the Hamilton Tiger Cats are now two games up on everybody else in the East.
Jim Rice writing us on the Facebook wall. Thanks for reading my posts, Mr. Peterson. You are simply the best, and the best sports show by far. Roll the dice, Rice. Well, Jim, there would be no me without people like you. So thank you for commenting into the program. And for everybody else watching this morning, keep the comments rolling. You can steer the discussion. That's what's fun about this show. And now here's producer Clark calling out Nashville Bobrovsky. Where are you? Gone awfully quiet on his bet with Marshall about who will be first place in the East. And you know you are a Jeremiah Masoli sprained ankle away from losing that bet.
Oh, thanks for jinxing me there.
Well, you know that. I think you jinxed yourself by gloating so much.
No, but every other team is also a sprained ankle away from that, too.
Good point.
And Ottawa is playing with potentially their backup quarterback this week. Now, that may be really good or that may be bad. You know.
What are you doing, Darren?
Oh, crickets.
That's funny.
The things we can do with our phones.
That's very funny. By the way, I don't know what we need to do for breaks. I've lost contact with Clark. I've lost ground.
Houston,
we're still going off the air at 12 Mountain, right? Did you know that it was 50 years today that they put a man on the moon?
Yes.
Did you
heard that on radio this morning?
Yep. I was reading it this morning, by the way.
We're not going to the moon because it's easy. We're going to the moon because it's hard.
Is that what they said?
Well, that's what it's JFK. That's one of his famous speeches.
Apparently, there's only two of the four astronauts are still alive. And Neil Armstrong is not one of them. So 50 years ago today. We will take a timeout. It's the Rod Peterson Show on Facebook Live. Listen live at rodpeterson.com, Apple Podcasts, and iHeartRadio.
He's covering everything that matters to you. It's the Rod Peterson Show. Tune in live Monday to Friday, 10 a.m. to noon, to catch the show live and be a part of the action. Take control by commenting live and sharing the show with your friends.
Employee pricing is back.
You get to pay what I pay and the whole entire pre-owned inventory.
Plus, we're Ford of Canada's number one pre-owned store, right here in Regina.
This 2018 Nissan Rogue SV all-wheel drive is employee priced at just $22,999 plus tax. Or check out this 2011 Jetta Highline diesel. It's employee price, just $11,999 plus tax.
You pay what we pay!
Locally owned and family operated, Emerald Water, refreshing the Rod Peterson Show. From reverse osmosis to natural alkaline and distilled water, they are perfect for your home and office. Saskatchewan's number one source for commercial alkaline with natural electrolytes and minerals that are better for your body. Naturally occurring magnesium, calcium, bicarbonate, and potassium are amazing for your health. Trust 30 years of experience and drink water that matters from Emerald Water.
Hey, honey, can you get one of the kids to show me how this Twitter thing works? Honey, I need to get on Instagram. Time for more of the Rod Peterson Show.
All right, we're headed into the overtime segment. Just want to give you a little sports update here on this Tuesday morning. The Toronto Blue Jays and Boston Red Sox continue a four-game set tonight at Fenway Park. The Red Sox won last night's opener 10-8 behind a Michael Chavis grand slam. CFL news, an arbitrator has upheld the CFL's two-game suspension of Hamilton Tiger Cats linebacker Simone Lawrence. He will miss the Week 8 game between the Ticats and Riders here in Saskatchewan. Hamilton receiver Brandon Banks, Montreal quarterback Vernon Adams Jr., and Winnipeg running back Andrew Harris are the CFL's top performers for Week 5. Just ahead of Carlo Koliakovo, joining us on video chat to the Prairie Mobile text line, Dale in PA writes in, listening every day from Prince Albert, Rod. Love your show. So glad you're back on the air. I've listened to you since your days calling the Raiders, then the Pats, and the Riders. You were the best in my books. And what a ride this spring was. Raiders are WHL champions. So, yes. Thank you, Dale. Thanks for listening. Thanks for the support. And here's hoping, hey, Darren, that that WHL championship, the Ed Chenault Cup, makes its way down to a Rider game.
I hope so.
Just
it
like
should.
The Stanley Cup.
It should.
Why wouldn't it?
Yeah,
it should. Huge Rider fans up there in Prince Albert.
Well, I mean, they drive, 4 hours to the game. Yeah, if they can get the trophy there, yeah, that would be great. I don't know why the Riders wouldn't want to have them there. That'd be awesome.
Let's make it happen. And hello to everybody in PA, because you know you can't spell party without PA. Let's go to the video chat. Carlo Koliakovo, Clark's telling me not quite. That... Thank you. Not quite, he says. Hey, Vernon Adams, Player of the Week. I wanted to bring this up on our TV show. We'll do it now while we have a couple moments. Marshall, are you starting to think the Riders should have waited a little longer on Vernon Adams before sending him to Montreal or however his days ended here? I can't remember.
Yeah, it's easy to play Monday morning quarterback, but I remember saying, and I think it was on In the Huddle back 2 or 3 years ago, that he reminded me a little bit. You mentioned Damon Allen's name earlier in the show. He reminded me a little bit of Damon Allen because he's
a foot shorter.
I mean, that's yes, true, not a foot, but
I think he might be a foot shorter.
Definitely
than
shorter.
I'm on it.
But my point is, Damon Allen was the smoothest football player I've ever seen in my life. The smoothest quarterback for sure. He just had the ability to just sort of float back there in the pocket. He looked effortless. It looked like his feet weren't touching the ground. And he could just find a crack. And if he wanted to take off, he had great speed, great acceleration, great quickness. And he had the poise to run out of the pocket and look downfield to throw the ball to his receivers. He didn't, you know, some quarterbacks, when they decide to run, they're running. But most good scrambling quarterbacks aren't running to run. They're running to throw the football and give their receivers time to get open. And I see some of Vernon Adams doing that. I see him being really smooth back there, obviously shorter, as you've mentioned, and he's running to look for a receiver. And he's just early on in his career, even though he's sort of 3 or 4 years in, he hasn't been given good coaching and hasn't been given a good opportunity, and he's getting it now. So did the Riders quit on him too soon? I don't think so, but it sort of looks like that now.
11.
Oh, come on!
That's Wikipedia.
No,
that's the listed height.
So
you know what?
2 inches a foot in your world?
I was 5'10 on the high school football program roster to intimidate the other team. And I'm 5'8, maybe in the right pair of shoes.
I'll tell you something. For whatever reason, and I don't know why they do it, but these sports teams, it's not like it used to be. They fudge these numbers, and I don't know why they do. I want to say Damon has got to be at least 6'2". I've stood beside him. I've stood beside VA, not just for interviews, like in photos together, selfies. Damon's taller than 6'1", and VA is far shorter than 5'11". I want to say 5'7". And some have said even Weston Dressler's stats of 5'7 are fudged, that he's not even 5'7". And I would tend to believe that. I just saw him at Kitepwa Beach last weekend. I'm like, man, he's not very big. Hall of Famer? Yes. Can't measure heart. But I don't like the way sports has gone, gentlemen, in that it used to be announced attendance. Tonight's attendance. Now it's paid attendance. And this is not new. This is going back probably at least a decade. But that last Rider game, they announced 29.5. My source is telling me that there was 24-7 in the house. So I think this is marketing people that don't want any to be tarred and feathered because the attendance isn't there. So now I'm not talking about the Riders. I'm talking about all of sports are doing this. They fudge the numbers. And 20 years ago, they never used to fudge the numbers.
Using your two examples, the answer is the same for both of them. Nobody wants to look bad.
Right. Mm-hmm.
The team doesn't want to look bad by announcing a lower attendance, so they announce
paid attendance.
They announce paid attendance, which is a way of making, you know, it's selling your product by making you look good. So I don't know if it's the same as true back to Weston Dressler and all the other players that maybe aren't as big as it says on the program. Again, I don't know if it's different now than it was when I played. Back when I played, they said, how tall are you and how much do you weigh? And I told them.
Yeah.
And that's what went in the program.
They didn't measure you?
Well, if they did, why'd they ask me?
Yeah.
They asked me to put that number in the program. And in any given year, and it's less so for defensive backs like I was, but you'd ask an offensive lineman how much he weighs before a game and ask him how much he weighs at the end of a game. It could be 15 pounds different. You ask him at the beginning of the week.
You get my point.
Versus the end of the week. But I think it's not as scientific as people think it is. I think it's just, okay, so-and-so, how much do you weigh and how tall are you? And if I want to say I'm 6 feet tall when I'm only 5'10 at best, who's going to stop me?
That was a big hockey.
You go ahead, and then I'm going to point out.
But that was a big hockey football thing. As a kid, I don't understand at a pro level because we're all pros, and we know that the size, it matters, but it's not the end of the world. Like, I mean, you're a good player, you're a good player. Yeah. But I remember being a kid, and you look at the other team's roster, you know, you're 12 years old or you're 13 or 14. It's like, holy smokes, they're all giants, they're all huge. We're going to get crushed. I don't want to get out of bed. You're nervous the whole drive down the road for an hour and a half, you know. That type of thing, and then you get it there, and you're on the ice, and these guys aren't that big.
But there should be a third stat that's not there, the size of the heart.
Yeah, but hang on. Just, you guys have had your say. How about mine? There's something to be said for the truth.
Oh, I love
it. Period. Hang on.
We all prefer it.
I know. But for the cup of coffee that I had with the Brandon Weekings, and they were weighing us and measuring us, it was exact. And I remember guys, when they were stepping on the scale, and I was only 16. I didn't really realize what was going on. But guys were stepping on the scale with just a towel around them, and that's it. Well, guys were soaking that towel. Guys were putting on three towels. Guys were putting weights between their knees, and because at that time, we wanted to be heavier. Remember that era of your life?
Yeah.
You know, and whatever. The trainers were just laughing. They're like, do whatever you want. We're just measuring this to put in the program.
And now we step on a scale with just one foot, right?
Now it's like, yeah, you lean one way to try and get it lower. But the truth is the truth. And that's why, whether it's attendance, you nailed it, Marshall. They don't want to look bad. But I had this long talk with my family on the weekend. It is, you know, the saying, perception's reality. I hate that saying. Reality's reality. And that's it, the truth. So you can fudge the numbers all you want on your height or your weight or how many people are in the building. We can all see it. You know, that's one thing in talking to fans. They say they announce this attendance, then everybody looks around and laughs. They actually think we're going to believe that. So why? Do you think it'll ever go back the other way? Has the pendulum swung so far, the BS in sports, that it's gotten too much? That's not credible?
Yeah, I don't think it's going to go the other way. But I do think that at, you know, let's say junior level, junior hockey, junior football, college hockey, college football, those kinds of things, you're going to see much more accurate numbers because I think there's a lot of people, scouts in particular, and teams that are looking to draft players. I want to know exactly how big he is. I want to know exactly how much
yes.
he weighs. I don't want to know. And in pro, you know, people aren't going, well, I don't know whether to trade for Marshall Hamilton or not. Let's look at the program, see how big he is. No, they're not doing that. But at the college level, And at the junior level, yeah, they're looking at those numbers. So I think there's going to be more emphasis on those numbers being accurate.
Well, and furthermore, back to the opening segment, the warm-up today, where I said there's a spat between the Montreal Gazette's Herb Sarkowski, who's saying the CFL fired Cavis Reed because they own the team now. He goes, not the Alouettes. And what their president, Pierre Boivin, said on Sunday. And the Alouettes have shot back from their Twitter account saying, no, Herb, it was the president's decision, just like he said on Sunday. And unfortunately, gentlemen, we're at a point in time in society, and I only deal in sports. I don't even want to get into news and politics, but I can't believe the team anymore because they've lied so much. I don't know who to believe. I'm not saying Herb's even right. And I really like the Alouettes, and I like their staff. They're great people and the whole thing. But I don't know if I can believe you or not, because this is the way sports has gone.
It may be semantics. So let me give you an example from the real world. And I, unfortunately, because of the nature of the work I did, fired a lot of people over the course of my career. Well, I never fired anybody where it was unilaterally my decision. It was always a group of us that got together and said, listen, we got to let this guy go, and here's why. And then it's, okay, who's going to do it? I'll do it. So who made the decision? It was probably three or four people. Who executed it? It was probably one person.
But we don't know who it is. And I don't think it even matters.
Who fired him. The question should be, who were the three or four people that made the decision? That's the right question.
You talked about, you know, you can't believe the teams anymore. And unfortunately, it's a way that news and the media and everything is going now, because everything's moving online and traditional media hasn't really found a way to make money and pay their bills in new media. And so you have Twitter breaking news. Anybody can jump on there. And we don't want to pay for news anymore. I know The Athletic is trying to change that, and that's really great. I hope they continue to do well. They're valuable. They're growing. And people are starting to pay for news again a little bit, but people don't want to pay for news. They want it for free because you can get it on Twitter. I can get it on Facebook. I can get it really easy. And so they're not covering the small markets as much because they have to maximize every view when they send a reporter out to cover a game. So it has to be the big leagues. So you're getting teams, right? They're creating their own media departments. They've got their own communications.
But they're not telling the truth.
They're not telling the truth. So you see them releasing their own stories. They're releasing their own interviews. They're releasing everything. So the media doesn't have to anymore. They're not coming. And what happens is when you own it, you control the message. You're not really a journalist. You don't have any of those standards to uphold. So, yeah, it's, you know, the Saskatoon Blades, I love them. So I'll use them as an example. They don't do this, I don't think. But Saskatoon Blades last night, big game, big crowd. Kirby Dach, projected top five pick, had two goals and an assist. Next game, and the goaltender had 25 saves. And they'll play PA on Saturday. We didn't mention that they lost 7-2. Right? You forgot that part.
Well,
right?
that's where the media comes in. And that's why I'm not saying Herb's wrong. Herb might be right that the CFL fired Cavis Reed. That's his report for the Montreal Gazette. The Alouettes are saying, no, Herb, you're wrong. And now it's, who do you believe? And in the end, I just don't think it matters. But who do you believe?
The answer is probably both.
Probably is both.
They probably both got together and said, listen, here's what we found out. This is unacceptable. We need to make a decision here. Who's going to execute it?
And here's a president trying to save his job to say that he didn't know about it. That's what's coming. Oh, this Alouette story is a long ways away from being over. Couple things on my perception is reality is bunk assertion. Dave writing it on Facebook, I'm reminded of a quote from writer Ayn Rand. You can ignore reality, but you can't ignore the consequences of ignoring reality. Boom. From Coach Etch. Etch is watching today. Good morning, Etch, wherever you may be checking in from. He says, truth, last week Vernon Adams was a nice backup. Nothing better. No. You know what he's referring to.
Yeah.
And it wasn't us. It was the Montreal reporter, Joey Alfieri, that said Vernon Adams will never be a franchise quarterback. Now he's led the Alouettes to back-to-back wins and player of the week.
I did agree with him, too. Not that he's only a backup, but I did agree, and I did mention, you look at guys, I think Jason Moss, Kevin Glenn did have a lot of success as starting quarterback, too, but you can be just a backup, and the change of pace guy and Brandon Bridge, I think, would be an excellent backup to have. He was great behind Kevin Glenn because he was change of pace, but when you put him in that spot of being a starting quarterback, and now I've got the pressure of managing the game, and I've got to, you know, think about all these different things. That's a lot, you know, it's a completely different thing.
Why can Brandon Bridge win coming off the bench, but can't win when he's starting?
Because all he's got to do is be a gunslinger.
But lest we forget, Vernon Adams, he played well. Vernon Adams did not win that game. That game was won by the Montreal defense, by Stanback, the running back, and a total team effort. It wasn't Vernon Adams went out there and shot the lights out. Yeah, he had 300 yards passing, but that was that Montreal defense is looking really good. And now they got Loeffler back. They're going to be a good defense.
Ty, this is how we'll end it. Ty Dacu on Facebook says, there's always three sides to every story. And that's true. His side, and the truth. He says, I trust neither RDS nor Les Alouettes. In Rod, we trust. Thank you, Ty. That's right. You can't believe what you read anymore, but you can believe it here. How's that? Thank you, Marshall. Dupes.
Yes.
I'm peanut butter. He's jelly. We'll see you tomorrow. Yeah, you're the bread. You're the bread in this sandwich. And we'll see you tomorrow on the Rod Peterson Show.
For more Rod Peterson on demand, visit rodpeterson.com.